This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to start today with two top leaders in one of the state's most important sectors. David Torchiana is president of and CEO of Partners Healthcare, the state's largest hospital network, which includes some 6,000 physicians at Brigham and Women's Hospital, Mass General, North Shore Medical Center, and more. Partners' 2016 operating revenue topped $12.5 billion. Dr. Torchiana, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meg. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Jeffrey Leiden. He's chairman, president, and CEO of Vertex Pharmaceuticals, maker of multiple drugs for cystic fibrosis and other diseases. Vertex's current market cap, more than $32 billion. Dr. Leiden, welcome to you.
Thanks, Meg. It's wonderful to be here.
So, I mean, I gave those revenue and market cap figures to give people a sense as to, you know, how large and important the organizations that you represent are to the biomedical ecosystem here in Massachusetts. And it's a delight to have both of you in the studio. I've been looking forward to talking to the two of you for quite a while. But we brought you in here because not that long ago you co-authored an op-ed where you talked about the health of research and biomedical research in Massachusetts. And you wrote that the strength of our biomedical ecosystem matters. The cost of not investing is clear. So did you feel compelled to write that in response to President Trump's budget, which proposes reducing funding for the NIH by almost $6 billion?
You know, I think we wrote it because it's a critical time for this biomedical ecosystem. We have been successful in America for the last 50 years and really led the world. We're the envy of the world in terms of new breakthrough drugs produced, patents produced, and jobs created. And we stand on the threshold of a time where there's even more opportunity for serious diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's. But to make sure we recognize that opportunity, it's more important than ever that we provide funding for the NIH that does all of the basic science research that leads to these new treatments.
So I guess maybe another way for me to ask it, and Dr. Torchiana, I'll turn this one to you. I mean, are you concerned that that funding may not be forthcoming with the current administration?
Well, the administration has made its position clear with its budget proposal reducing NIH funding by 20%. I have a reasonably high level of confidence that there's historically been bipartisan support in Congress to not go down that path. So I think that there's lots of concern. I think that part of the concern is it reflects an indifference to the importance of science. And one of the reasons why we felt it would be helpful to discuss these issues with the administration was to emphasize the multiple dimensions of biomedicine, including the very significant economic benefit that it has for this country and for this country's position in a world marketplace. So it's not a great start. If you start with a 20% cut, you feel good getting back to zero or something close. But I remain optimistic that we'll fund these very important areas because they matter so much.
Yeah. So you mentioned discussing these issues with the administration. I want to come back to that in just a moment. But this, let me just ask it as let me put it yet another way. You were very careful in this op-ed to not specifically call out the Trump administration or the president. I mean, why not? It is his proposed budget.
It's very early days, Meg, in this process. We're in the discussion and debate phase, and we wanted to add our voices to that discussion and debate. As you know, we were both down at the White House as well discussing with them, and I think our feeling was they're very much in listening mode. So I think we wanted to make sure that those points of view were heard by everyone.
So can you tell us, I mean, who in the administration you met with in your White House meetings and more on the nature of the discussions?
Well, I think the nature of the discussion, the perspective that certainly Secretary Price and I think the president and his advisors have is that there is waste in every level of government. So presumably there's room to cut virtually any government budget. And then secondly, that there's an opportunity for the private sector to intervene and make up some of the funding gap if that were to occur, particularly if the private sector and the government were to share in the return of invention and commercialization. The final thing, there's an esoteric part of scientific funding called indirect cost. Mm-hmm. And I think the government looks at NIH indirect cost payments and feels like they're overpaying for the infrastructure that supports research. So they have a perspective. It's the perspective that you would expect from a business leader in a business-oriented administration. And for better or for worse, I don't know that calling people out when you're trying to have a dialogue and reach a constructive end accomplishes a heck of a lot.
Okay.
I think one of the most important points we made to Torch's point was that these different parts of the ecosystem, the NIH, academia, biotech, they aren't actually interchangeable. What the NIH and academia do is absolutely irreplaceable. And so cuts in NIH funding can't simply be made up for by what the private sector is going to do. And I think there was a lot of appreciation at that point during our discussion.
We should note that it doesn't seem as if Congress is likely to take up the president's proposed budget cuts on NIH in any meaningful way. And in fact, earlier this year, Congress ignored part of the proposal to slice $1.2 billion for the NIH for the next fiscal year, and instead actually awarded the agency some extra money, an extra $2 billion. So it's sort of a, you know, what's really going on here? I mean, what can you read from the different branches of government approaching this in different ways? Are we alarmed over nothing?
No, I don't think it's nothing. Okay. I think this is definitely a serious discussion that's going on. On the other hand, as you point out, I think many in Congress for a long time have understood the importance of the NIH, supported the NIH, and we certainly saw that last year. We just want to make sure that continues.
And I guess I'd add the local feature, since this is for local consumption. This is particularly critical for Massachusetts, which is, I think, why Jeff and I felt the need to write the op-ed piece.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit, because we were looking at some numbers. And Dr. Torchiana, since you're the head of partners, MGH, Mass General, is the largest recipient of NIH grants in Massachusetts, or amongst the largest. Last year, the hospital received some $365 million in NIH funding. So, I mean, so what potential effect could any cut have on MGH or partners as a whole?
Well, I'd blow it up a little bit. So one of the very unique things about Massachusetts is that about 60% of the NIH funding actually goes to hospitals in Massachusetts. Around the rest of the country, virtually all goes to universities. Mm-hmm. So Massachusetts has an unusual structure, and we actually have many of the highest funding levels of independent hospitals in the country. I think we have 8 out of the top 14, and MGH is number one on the list. Partners actually in aggregate, including the Brigham and Spalding and McLean, is the largest institutional recipient of NIH funds in the country. The other thing that I would add is that the other Boston teaching hospitals would all be major research centers in their own right in other cities. So Boston is absolutely a unique concentration of basic research, and that's why this economy and the ecology has grown up around it so powerfully in the last 15 years. And that's the thing that I think is at risk, and it's at risk from multiple directions, one of which is NIH funding. The other is the health of the hospitals has an awful lot to do with the health of the research enterprise.
I mean, so but tell me more specifically, like if NIH funding were cut in a meaningful way, I mean, what practical impact might that have on partners?
Well, I think the two things that are most immediate is obviously we would have less funding to support research, so we would have to consolidate and diminish our workforce and reduce the amount of activity that we had. I think the two most significant long-term impacts would be, and this one I think is the strongest, is the impact on trainees and the future of the field, because it's already pretty tough to get your first NIH grant. People typically don't get their first R01 till their early 40s, and the bar for getting a grant awarded is about the 20% level, so it's very competitive. So a very negative effect on the pipeline, very negative effect on the current enterprise. And then I think the final piece, which is a bit more intangible, but maybe just as important as any of the others, is it would have a very significant effect on the economic spinoff of the work that gets done, because companies like Jeff's do, they take basic science and they turn it into products and cures. But you need the basic science, and the only place the basic science comes from is from NIH.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why there is this synergistic effect in terms of who we have here in Massachusetts. Dr. Lido, I mean, let me just put it to you directly, too. So can you tell us what the practical impacts on a company like Vertex might be?
Yeah, I think they're exactly the two that Torch mentioned. First of all, we rely on the hospitals and universities for our future workforce. That's where these folks get trained. And so if training goes down, and it certainly would if there were major cuts to the NIH, it affects directly our ability to get the best and the brightest out of our local universities. But the second one is the entire biomedical economy has grown up because of the proximity of the NIH-funded work that's going on at the hospitals and universities to us. And just to give you a couple of numbers, there are more than 400 biotechs right here in Massachusetts today, more than $2 billion a year of venture capital invested, more than 65,000 jobs. And so the future of that industry, which today looks so bright, would be threatened by these kinds of cuts.
What would you say to maybe some people who are a little skeptical and for the very reason that the two of you run two very big, large, important organizations in Massachusetts? I mean, I did put those numbers out there about Partners 2016 revenue being over $12 billion. And we also looked up Vertex's market cap at above $30 billion, and we see it's the best performing stock on the S&P 500 this year, I guess, or at least one of the best. Point being that there are a lot of folks out there who might say Partners and Vertex don't really have anything to worry about regardless of what happens with NIH funding because you're big. You have your own resources.
Yeah, I'm most concerned about a couple other things. First of all, I've been involved in the startup part of this economy for a long time. There's 50 to 80 new startups that form here every year, and they won't form with these kinds of cuts because that comes directly out. The other thing I'm really concerned about is patients. I mean, at the end of the day, we all do what we do to make new treatments, breakthrough treatments for patients. And to slow that down now for diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's, to me, would be a real shame.
Just want to circle back in the last couple of minutes that we had to something that you mentioned, Dr. Torchione, a little bit earlier about Secretary of Health and Human Services Tom Price talking about indirect costs of research, utilities, internet service, data storage, that kind of thing. And it seems like the secretary sees that as one place where there could be some belt tightening. Because I wonder, does that have anything to do with, a process that Partners seems to be going through right now, something called Partners 2.0, a multi-year initiative that's going to optimize efficiencies at Partners?
I wouldn't connect the two dots. I'll answer your question in a sec. But about a quarter of that total that you cited is devoted to research on our campus. And by far the major piece of indirect cost is space. So space is the most expensive component in supporting a broad basic science program. Partners 2.0 has a research component, but it's basically responding to the pressures on costs that all healthcare systems are facing around the country. And we're trying to make sure that we're lined up and organized as efficiently as we can so that we're making efficient uses of the resources that we have.
I mean, it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like kind of a significant endeavor that Partners is going through. It's $600
million? $600
million,
which is obviously about a 5% piece of our expense base. So it looks a little more manageable when you think of it in those terms. I've been in this business for quite a while, and this is something that you recurrently have to do in any organization, but particularly in healthcare, where there's always a good new opportunity to make an investment in addressing an unmet need. And intermittently, you have to step back and look at your structure and make sure you don't have a lot of duplication and overlap, and you're not doing a lot of things that are less effective than they could be. And because we're big and we have lots of moving parts, we have a big opportunity, I think, to do better here.
I mean, you're a huge employer in terms of human capital, right?
We're the largest employer
in the state.
Outside of state government in the state.
And it was just in April that Partners offered buyouts for, 1,600 workers at Brigham and Women's Hospital? Are there more buyouts on the way?
Well, I think there are certainly more personnel moves on the way in the future. As you said, we have 73,000 employees. We actually hire and turn over about 8,000 employees a year, so there's a lot of in and out And I hope that whatever we are able to accomplish over the next few years will mostly be accomplished through managing that. But when you look at hospital systems, particularly 70% of our costs are in people. So you can't manage your costs without managing your people.
I appreciate you engaging with me on these questions. But as you'll also appreciate, a lot of our listeners are likely employees for both of you.
Certainly some of them are.
So Dr. David Torchiana, President and CEO of Partners Healthcare, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And Dr. Jeffrey Leiden, Chairman, President, and CEO of Vertex Pharmaceuticals, my thanks to you as well.
Wonderful to be here. Thanks, Mike.
And we have a link to their op-ed that's at our website, radioboston.org. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.